VentureCast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Which brings us to the last question. What is the worst song ever recorded by an ex-Beatle? We could probably come up
with that. It's something by McCartney because he's such a schlocky, stoppy boob. I might go. It has to be a really good one, though. It has to be one that was a hit that will bother you for years and years. I might go with a Little Luck. You remember that one? With a little luck.
That is the incorrect answer. I love that song. How dare you?
Oh, God.
There's a correct answer. Do you want me to tell it to you, Ben?
That was, yeah.
It is Pipes of Peace by Paul.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah, you're right.
That was so jaw-droppingly awful.
So bad.
You're right. Home run. Checkmate.
50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys.
Fellas, what is up? How are you? Ben, Knoxville, Tennessee. How's it going?
All good. Hustling along. Keep it busy. Digging it.
Excellent. Jeff Simons, how are things in Marin County?
Also doing the hustle thing. It's been unseasonably cold in Marin. Yeah. The temperature got down into the mid-40s. And I got to tell you, we're all feeling a little chill. I don't know how I feel about it.
It's a long December. There's reason to believe. Maybe next year.
Don't say it'll be a long December on December 1st.
Yeah. Hey, it is 50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys here on the Electricast Podcast Network. Check us out on Instagram. We've actually got a fun poll that's going to be going up later today that you two don't know about yet. So that's going to be really great.
Does the poll pit us against one another?
Indeed.
Which of my sidekicks is more replaceable?
It's a quick one. Okay. Hey, my son Patrick, you know, he's great. 17 years old. He got his first record player. He's buying albums now. He's super excited. And we're driving in the car, and he says to me, "I just don't get radio." I'm like, "What do you mean? What do you mean you don't get radio?" He's like, "So you just listen to music that someone else is playing for you? Like someone you don't know, and someone who doesn't know you and doesn't know your musical taste? And they just play music and you're supposed to listen?" So I felt attacked, and I felt that a younger generation was coming after my generation. So I defended. I said, "Hey, this is how you get exposed to new music. This is where you go. You go to the radio." And he's like, "Well, Spotify has that. You just like new releases and you just listen to them. And then if you don't like them, you just fast forward." It's like, "You don't need a radio for that." And that's when I said, "Well, advertisements are very important." I lost. I lost. He's like, "I don't get it." And it's blew my mind. Like, he's like, "I don't get radio."
Wait, and Timmy, you're not defending the current version of radio, right? You're defending your old experience, because the current version of radio is so clearly worse than Spotify.
Right.
Yeah.
We would have DJs that we liked or connected with, and then I would then trust that DJ to bring me new music. Whereas nowadays, like, so many radio stations don't even have a DJ.
No, it's in fact, for people who are like, "Geez, AI just entered my life." Like, AI's been programming your radio stations for the last 4 years at least. So
I'm old, man.
Well, I love that Patrick's got a record player. I love the combination of the throwback and the new forward. You've got to be happy that he's buying vinyl, even if he doesn't want to listen to Q105, Asheville's Home of the 70s.
Hey, I thought it was really cool. You said that on Record Store Day, like half of the people in line were, what, under 25 or something like that? What'd you say?
Yeah.
Really cool.
And shockingly, it was almost a 50-50 female-to-male ratio, which in previous Record Store Day, it was like 99-0.
Right.
So this is a huge difference. I think it was the Olivia Rodrigo EP. I think they were all in line to get that. But
was this at Amoeba?
Yeah.
Yeah. We took the whole family. We were in Charlotte, and we went to a record store, and it was so fun. Watching my kids go around in different sections. Henry's going to Miles Davis albums. I'm like, oh my God, this is so cool.
So what'd you come home with?
Oh, so the Who record with the kids on the stairs.
Beanie
looking
Beanie
up.
Big and Bouncy.
Yeah. So that's going to be a Christmas present. Steve Martin's comedy album where he has the rabbit ears. I went with that one.
Wild and crazy guy.
And of course, Bob Seger's Night Moves. Those are the three gifts for the new record player tote. Patrick. God,
that's so brutal. I can't even. So brutal. You are so brutal.
All right. Well, we were going to talk a little bit about, this is our segue, record stores to Spotify. Spotify Wrapped came out. And I was hoping, did you guys have any reaction to your lists?
I'm going to let Ben go first because I'll be letting you know how I did as a Spotify artist because I get two reps.
Let's
go. Jeff the listener and who listened to Jeff. And that one is much more entertaining.
Yeah, we've got a podcast rap too to unearth. Ben, what do you got?
I remain very pleased with my Spotify Wrapped. It made me super happy.
Let's go.
Top played song once again in a silent way. So just going to keep that rolling along. And then top five artists, in my opinion, quite a likable and eclectic mix. We got Zach Bryan, number one for the second year in a row.
Interesting. Huh.
I really like that guy, apparently.
Oh, man. Huh.
Second is Maggie Rogers. That Maggie Rogers record blew me away, and I listened to that the entire year all the way through. Then number three, the Staple Singers.
Oh,
how about that?
Number four, J. Cole. Number five, Otis Redding. So I was pretty amped about that.
Dang.
Pretty good.
Five artists.
Pretty good list.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Jeff Simons, who was on your list as a listener?
Well, see, my list as a listener, my list is all screwed up because I use it to learn how to play other people's music when I'm gigging for them.
Oh,
so,
interesting.
The Sweet Remains was my number one.
Yay, let's go.
Good job by you. Fair enough.
I had to learn 27 Sweet Remains songs, so I was shedding. But the others were like more horses. But the one that was interesting to me was King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Oh, no kidding.
Showed up at number four. So that was an unexpected new, apparently quasi-obsession.
Well, they released like 18 records last
year,
right? So you had a lot of material to plow through.
I must have given them all a chance. I listened to that whole Live at Red Rocks, the whole 10-hour thing. I put it on over the course of like, yeah, I listened to it over the course of like 2.5 weeks. Yeah, so.
All right, well, what about Spotify Wrapped for you as an artist?
So, yeah, so Spotify, if you're an artist, you get your stats too. So I was actually kind of surprised by my stats. I had 117,000 distinct listeners over the year.
Okay.
That's a lot.
Wait,
170,000 different people?
117,000 different people.
Huh.
And then I streamed my music 182,000 times, which is pretty good. I had 3,300 song saves. I had my music was added to 604 playlists. But this is the part that kind of cracked me up is, I was a top 10 artist for 3,700 people. I was a top five artist for 1,600 people. And I was the number one artist for 177 people. And I want to know who the other 176 people are.
That is awesome.
It's nobody in my family and it's neither of y'all. So who the hell, if you're out there, number one fan, please let me know.
Say thank you.
That's more than this year. You don't even know that many people. Like, you don't have 176 friends. I'm serious. At least some of these people are not your friend.
Yeah.
That's right. There are complete strangers out there for whom I'm somebody they listen to, and I am super chuffed.
That is amazing. I love it.
Congrats. That is really fun. You might even have some people who actively dislike you, but they grudgingly put on your music because they like
your
music.
They can't get over it. They can't get enough. I love it.
I also love the idea of like 110 of those being like, what's Spotify? And they accidentally hit me and they're like, I don't like this. And they canceled.
No, don't be silly. Well, that is fun. So Spotify for Podcasters also came out with their Wrapped. 50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys has some interesting, interesting stuff. We are the top five podcast, or one of the top five podcasts for 1,017 people.
Nice.
Number one podcast for 490 people.
By the
Excellent.
Way, I actually know that Scott Schimmel is one of those people.
Let's go, Scott Schimmel. Excellent. We were streamed in 79 different countries last year. The country with the highest percentage of new listeners, Morocco. Ooh,
mine was Brazil. Brazil is number two for me.
Let's go. That's so fun.
It's that samba beat you've got going there, man. Exactly. It's just hidden in there. It's you just have to natural, listen more carefully.
It's just the natural rhythm of my music that reaches the people.
Ben, you'll love this. The your colleague who shouted us out on his blog.
Yeah, Glenn.
Glenn's influence is still intact, because our most popular podcast was The Best Songs of 1980, which is 999% more popular than our average podcast. Bump. So funny. And then finally, the categories that our podcast listeners mark as their top interests. Comedy is number one. News, number two. Religion and spirituality, number three. So music is not penetrating the top three category for our podcast listeners.
Okay, that's really funny.
Really funny. And then finally, Spotify rap for young Tim Plain. It goes from 5-1, Bruce, Dylan, REM, Wilco, T-Swizzle coming out of nowhere with the number one slot.
Oh, that's well done,
50-year-old white guy. And my number one listened to song. Are you ready with the music, Jeff Simons?
Okay, I'll give it a shot. What do you got?
My number one most listened to song in 2023 by Jeff Simons.
No.
Tell Me Mama. Let's go.
No way. Let's see. Do I have a copy of Tell Me Mama on my...
Did you not read your text?
My computer? No, I didn't read my text. I read the text like 4 hours ago.
Oh, there's
another. Here we go.
Yeah, let's go.
So really, Dylan was like third, because that's a Dylan song. So you had Dylan at four and me doing Dylan at one.
That's correct.
I appreciate it, brother.
That is correct. All right. Fun stuff. Hey, real quick, great friend of ours and a friend of the podcast, Rich Price, has been having an extraordinarily difficult week. And we just wanted to send out our love to Rich and his family from the three of us. And any listeners out there who have enjoyed when Rich and Clint have jumped on to talk music with us.
Send the guys who do the Age Old Podcast some healing, loving messages if you can. We love you, brother. We love all of you.
Woo! All right. And it's this whole podcast could be for Rich. Doesn't Rich love the Beatles?
This is his jam, for sure.
Well, I can't.
Rich, consider this a welcome distraction as three people who know the Beatles about one-tenth as well as you do make a whole bunch of mistakes.
I want to see how he does on the compilation. I got some trivia questions. So, Rich, play along with us. We're going to start it off. Oh, by the way, we're in Liverpool. Did I mention that?
Did we forget the conceit that we gassed up in Liverpool, getting some petrol?
We're trying to get back to North America. Unfortunately, we've run out of gas. So we're at the Spar in Liverpool. And as long as we're here gassing up, we're going to talk about Liverpool's favorite sons. Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Sound of screaming.
And we're going to start things off with their biggest hit, especially once the 21st century rolled around.
Which is shocking.
Shocking to me. Here comes the sun.
Can I just, before we start playing it, would you have guessed that, Ben, at all?
I would, maybe if I thought, no. The short answer to that's no. I mean, because they have like 18 songs that you would think that would fit into this. As soon as you told me, I was like, oh, that kind of makes sense. It's a little bit like the Say a Little Prayer Aretha thing, where it's like, people have such horrible taste and are such morons. And also, by the time you get to when Spotify comes out, you know, like they don't know that Hey Jude it was the biggest single of all time played on the radio until everybody heard it a million times. They're just like, oh, I like that pretty Sun song.
Yeah, I wonder if we were in the age before computers, what would be the biggest hit? I had Let It Be, Ready to Roll, but no.
I think it would have been Hey Jude.
Hey Jude,
Jude was known to be the most played song on the radio ever. Like, it broke all the records.
Well, hopefully one of you picked that. Go ahead, Jeff.
It's a great one.
It is a lovely, lovely little song.
Hilarious that George Harrison gets the last word on best ever Beatles song.
Yeah. And it was never released as a single, whereas Hey Jude was released only as a single, correct?
That's correct. Let's do it with the Beatles trivia.
Well, I learned that from you back along. I still don't totally understand the whole thing, singles versus albums. Everyone nowadays is going to put out an album and release, like, what, three or four singles?
Well, it's changing with Spotify. Now you have a lot of bands going back to, like, dropping one track, dropping a single, and maybe they get compiled into an EP, or maybe they get compiled in an album down the road. But we're back into the moment of the 60s where the individual song can be the calling card for months.
Wow.
It's interesting.
Changes. I tell you what. All right. Our first game of this podcast is called Can Jeff Name Them? Ben, you'll be our first contestant in the game, Can Jeff Name Them? There are 13 Beatles studio albums. Can Jeff name them?
Oh, easy yes.
Jeff, go.
In order, they are Please Please Me, With the Beatles, Hard Day's Night, Beatles for Sale, Help, Rubber Soul, Revolver, Sgt. Pepper, Magical Mystery Tour, The White Album, Yellow Submarine, Abbey Road, and Let It Be.
Are we accepting the White Album as an answer?
instead of the Beatles self-titled. Yeah. Okay. I didn't want to come off as too much of a jerk.
All right. All right. Well, don't worry. We've got other Ken Jeff name them categories here. That was pretty good. That's off the top of your head. So, Ben Barton, I'm going to name a song. Can Jeff name the album it comes off of? So I'll say the song and you tell me yes or no. In My Life.
Yes, Jeff can name that for sure.
Jeff?
In my life, song, A Hard Day's Night. Now, here's the problem we have is Tim Scott. Uh-oh. Tim doesn't know that there's British versions of records.
I know. I was going to point you out with 13 records in a row.
And they're all different until 1967. So the album tracks on Revolver are different in America and the United States. The Hard Day's Night in America was just the film score and not the actual songs.
Okay, hold on. But can I ask for a clarifying question? The song is...
First of all, you're supposed to be the judge.
I know, and I'm
you're
struggling
not allowed
early.
To ask a clarifying question to the contestant. It's okay. I'm going to check this as a win, and we're going to move on.
Well, I have In My Life...
Oh, but I'm
Soul.
Wrong. I'm wrong. He's right. I'm wrong. It's on Rubber Soul, right?
Thank
I'm just wrong.
You.
Oh, look at that, Timmy.
Thank
Good
you.
For you. Good job
I'm sorry,
by
Tim.
You.
So that's okay. Ben,
oh,
you're
one for
at,
two.
Ben, you're at minus one at, with that because he oh was God. Wrong. Ben, can Jeff tell us where All My Loving is from?
Oh, which album it's from?
Yes.
Yes, he can do that.
It's from With the Beatles.
Yes, correct. She's Leaving Home.
Oh, he can definitely do that one. I
Sergeant Pepper.
One.
Okay. I'm a Loser.
Sure.
Beatles for Sale.
Wow. And A Taste of Honey. Jeff?
Jeff's giving me the nod. So yes, I think he can do this.
Please me. So the first.
Excellent. So 4 out of 5. What happened on the first one?
I just panicked. Actually, it's because I grew up listening to the American records. And then the CDs came out, and then I switched over and I've been listening to the British versions ever since. But I get a little confused in the 62 to 65 range. I can't always remember.
That makes sense. That makes sense. All right. Well, let's construct this by ourselves, and then we're going to do another game. But a Mount Rushmore of Beatles albums. We can only pick four.
Songs. I thought we did songs.
No, well, that's coming next.
Oh. Okay.
There's 13 albums. There's three of us.
Yeah, pick four. No. We're doing it together, I'm saying. Which are the four best albums? I don't have
Sergeant Pepper's.
You want Sergeant Pepper's? That's fine. I'll take Revolver.
Once again, we're not in competition.
Okay.
So there's a Sergeant Pepper.
Well, we each get to pick one, and then we'll fight over the fourth one.
No, I'm not picking. Go on. What else?
Oh,
Revolver, Sergeant Pepper's.
Okay,
and
so,
I'd like to put Magical Mystery Tour on there.
No, hard
that's
no.
My
no,
love
no,
that
luck.
One.
Definitely can't have that. If we're doing it together, that's a hard no. No way.
Well, then the White Album
Hold
or
on.
Abbey Road.
Abbey that's Road. We can agree. Abbey Road was my next selection, so we can agree
Great.
On Abbey Road.
Wait,
and then
real
so now
quick,
we're...
what's on Magical Mystery Tour? That's super offensive.
I don't know why. But...
It's not offensive. It's just
that.
Not that great. What's the best song on Magical Mystery Tour? The song
Forever
Magical Mystery
Fields
Tour?
Forever.
That I don't even like that song that much.
Oh my God.
Oh, I know. We're in so much trouble.
Oh my God. Okay.
This is great. Okay.
I will accept the White Album or I'll take Let It Be. Those will be my two.
So Revolver, Abbey Road, Sgt. Pepper, and you want the White Album?
Okay. Yeah.
That's fine with me.
Yeah.
Or Let It Be. I'm happy with either one of them.
Yeah, I like the White Album better.
Right.
All right. Now we'll get back to our contest, which apparently we're raring to go. And what we're going to do is we're going to do a Beatles song, Mount Rushmore. Once a song has been picked by your fellow podcaster, it's gone. So you cannot choose that song. And then we're going to put the two Mount Rushmores up on Instagram, and our listeners are going to vote who has the better.
Oh, Timmy, you're not going to play? You're not going to play?
No, I'm not. I'm out. No, right. It's just the two of you. More Beatles
Ben,
for Ben.
Ben can go first.
So hopefully Jeff will choose Star Reveals Forever so I can just win right out of the gate. Like, it'll just be over.
Oh my God, you're so mean.
It'll just be tire treads on the back of his Mount Rushmore. All right, I'm going to start with A Day in the Life.
Okay.
I consider that to be just an all-time unbelievable masterpiece.
Okay. Well, if Strawberry Fields Forever is safe, as you claim that is...
Oh, no, I'm going to pick it any time. You start with that.
I'm going to start with Tomorrow Never Knows, which is the one chord song that closes Revolver that uses backwards tape looping and has Ringo's best drum performance. And I'm going to make the argument later. It's like one of the two or three songs that invents rock music without the in-roll part of it. So I'll go with Tomorrow Never Knows.
That's the one that's the... Yeah, that one's a banger. That's an odd selection, however. So I'm off to a good start. I'm going to take... So we get four total, right?
Yeah, four total.
Correct.
Okay. It'll come out later, but I much prefer later Beatles to earlier Beatles. But I'm going to choose Twist and Shout.
Whoa.
All right.
Okay.
Because it's a cover, it's 2 minutes long, and it shows everything that was good about the Beatles before 67.
And they just go, go, go. All right. I love it.
And it's all a banger.
It's a banger, yeah.
So I will say I had A Day in the Life on my list of possibilities. So we agree on that one. I did not have Just a Shot. But for my 2 minute banger Beatles, like who writes a better song than this? I'm going to choose Paperback Writer, which was a one-off single in 1966.
All right.
I love that. That's the Too Clever by Half part of the Beatles that I don't care for. All right. I am going to choose Let It Be.
Let It Be.
I've heard that one. By the way, the difference between these two lists, I don't know if you've seen High Fidelity, but when they're picking best side one track ones, and he's like, why don't you just pick Beethoven's Fifth Symphony track one? That's Ben's list. Mine's a little bit more of a, I think the greatest Beatles song of all time is, in fact, Strawberry Fields Forever, so I'm picking it third.
Oh, my God.
That is fantastic.
I got my top three choices so far. I have one more to get my top four.
I'm really struggling here.
Oh, you got it. There's one to pick. It's right there. You have to pick Hey Jude.
No, I consider Let It Be and Hey Jude to be similar. I'm not like in terms of the so Mount Rushmore wise.
Uh-huh.
If I didn't get Let It Be, I was going to take Hey Jude, and if I didn't get A Day in the Life, I was going to do Golden Slumbers Carry That Way at the End.
Yeah,
but these works like for a Mount Rushmore, you want to get four different things that show like the mastery, the unbelievable greatness of this act.
I mean, and Washington and Jefferson. Okay, go ahead.
And so, I am going to controversially choose Revolution.
All right.
Revolution. That's a banger.
I'll
get my fourth choice, which is Come Together, the first track on Abbey Road.
That's not a bad one. That was on my longer list.
So what's on your longer list? What did you pick? Because I lost A Day in the Life to you. But I've got I Am the Walrus, Rain, A Hard Day's Night, Everybody's Got Something to Hide But Me and My Monkey, I Saw Her Standing There, 8 Days a Week, and Don't Let Me Down. That was the 12, because I thought Timmy was playing too, so I thought I needed 12.
You had a lot.
Yeah, totally. So the very next pick, if it was Golden Slumbers Carry That Way at the End, that's just an unbelievable masterpiece. And also just shows like the full breadth of their genius.
Yep.
I had Blackbird.
Good one.
Hey Jude, I Want to Hold Your Hand. I had Come Together. Oh, I'm sorry, but the next one right below that was Eleanor Rigby. Eleanor Rigby just crushes me.
It was one of the last ones I cut from the top 12. So,
oh man, that's good stuff.
I'm thrilled that I got my four favorites. So we'll see.
Are you going to be?
Hold on. The song that I'm going to pick is not one of the four that I put on Mount Rushmore. Mount Rushmore. Mount Rushmore's different.
What about for you, Jeff? Is that true for you?
I'll just pick another one. Like, it's the Beatles. Like, how hard can it be to pick a great song to talk about?
You can do it how you want.
It's like putting your hand in a bag of gold.
I want to explain to the listener so they'll understand why my Mount Rushmore is so superior to Jeff's. What the point of a four-song Mount Rushmore is it's not my four favorite Beatles songs. It's not your four favorite Beatles songs. It's not even really the four best Beatles songs. It's like a combination of best and most representative and also explanatory of why you would have the Beatles, why you would make a monument to the Beatles with the four songs on it.
Interesting.
Jeff Simons, I think Tomorrow Never Knows is my Teddy Roosevelt. So can you play 30 seconds of Tomorrow Never Knows?
No, do it as a song. He's going to do it as a song.
No, I don't think he wants to.
No, he does. Yeah. He's got a whole rap about it. It's fantastic. Most people listening to this will not be like, oh, I know exactly that song, because it's a little bit of...
I'll do that one because people won't know it. That'll be fun.
I mean, I didn't even know you rapped. That's so awesome. Okay.
But it was...
Here we go. Are you guys ready for the Beatles compilation I put together?
Yes. Oh, by the way, Jeff is doing the heavy lifting, the light lifting. I'm just going to be here to cheer him on.
Okay. There are 11 songs on the Beatles compilation. They range from 2 to 4 seconds long.
Okay.
I actually got confused. I'm not sure of a few of them. So you're going to have to help me out. I only have 10 written down, and somehow
all right, so here's the stack. Here's the question. 11. Do you want me to say them as I get them, or do you want me to play it first and then tell you what they are?
Because I'm
betting that I'll be able to do it. Like, you give me 2 to 4 seconds, I'd be pretty surprised if I can't just name it in the moment. But if you want to have a clean listen.
Yeah, it would be nice for the listeners to have a clean listen. So let's listen to the whole thing. It's only 47 seconds. Let's listen to the whole thing.
If I listen to the whole thing, I'm going to know all of them.
That's fine.
Just tell us all of them.
Yeah. All right. Listen to the whole thing, and then we'll play it again, and you tell us the names.
Okay, great.
Got that one, too.
All right. 11 songs. You feeling 11-11?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm impressed.
I think I might be able to get the first two. I'll call it out and then you correct me.
Okay. Sounds good.
I'll play it and stop, Ben, and you go for the first. I'll bat cleanup because I'll bet, how many do you think you got, Ben? 9?
No, not that many.
Okay. There's a couple in there that are pretty sneaky choices, I got to say.
Thank you.
All right, here we go. First one.
See, now I thought it was one of 64, but that's not one of 64.
No,
it's Maxwell Silverhand.
Okay, got it. I did not have that one. This one I have.
That's
Glass Onion, right?
Great.
That's Glass Onion. That's Tell Me What You See. Listen to me. I think it's the little keyboard part that starts that song.
It's called You Like Me Too Much.
Oh, that's You Like Me Too Much and I Like You. Same terrible composer. Same terrible idea. George Harrison should never play the piano. Oh, shit. All right, I'm going to go 10 or 11 then.
All right.
You got that one?
No.
That's Yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, so pretty. Baby, You're a Rich Man.
Yes, indeed.
Excellent.
That's Enya Burke Can Sing, right?
No, that's She Said, She Said, but it's the same record, same guitar sound.
What do you got?
I'm looking through you.
Yep.
that's their cover of Buddy Holly's Words of Love.
Excellent.
All right, next up.
That star standing there?
It sure sounds like it, but it's Ringo Starr singing Boys.
Boys singing is like correct.
Yeah. Wow.
Boys. What do you got?
There's a place where I can go. Yeah, there's a place.
A place for us. Yes.
All right, and here I stand, hand in hand.
You got to hide your love away.
I'm actually really disappointed that I didn't get all up.
Dude, 10 of 11, 11 is extraordinary.
Yeah, you really should have.
Nah, I should have gotten that other one.
The one
you,
that
I'm really, you like me too much is the one with that stupid keyboard part, huh?
That was, well, I also tried to get some harmonica in there. I tried to throw you off in a few.
Let's go to the beginning of that.
Yeah.
This is one of their worst songs, actually. Then that one happens next.
Though you've gone away this morning, you'll be back again tonight.
So bad.
All right. Well, let's get a little more time with the Beatles song. This is their first Grammy ever. They won the Grammy for Best Vocal Performance for
the best, maybe the best first chord ever.
It's been a
Ben, it's so fun. I remember you saying when you saw Paul McCartney that he had a DJ beforehand, yeah, just kind of playing a whole bunch of Paul McCartney songs. And it's like the entire crowd is like psyched for 40 minutes. And
oh, dude,
none
it's
of
amazing. Yeah, there was just like he just kept mixing in a minute and a half of Beatles and Wings and McCartney songs. And the lights go down. And Eddie was like, damn, I mean, the DJ was so amazing. Is he going to have songs to play? And I was like, it's a good catalog. He'll have more, I promise.
He's got a few more. All right, so this is, Rich is going to love this section. Beatles trivia. There are only 5 questions. Go ahead and hit your buzzer when you have the answer or just yell it out. Who directed the film Hard Day's Night?
Richard Lester.
Excellent. In the film Help, which Beatle has a sinister cult and 2 mad scientists after him?
Oh, Ringo, because of the ring.
Excellent. Wow. Who had the first post-Beatles number one hit? Which Beatle had the first number one hit?
It might be Ringo Starr with Photographs, but if it's not, then it's Paul McCartney with either Maybe I'm Amazed or the dumb song off of Graham, Uncle Albert.
No, isn't it?
I can't remember.
Isn't it a George Harrison song?
It is a George Harrison song.
Is it My Sweet Lord?
My Sweet Lord was the first one to go number one. Good job. 2-1.
By the way, He's So Fine by the Chiffons, but like a word with My Sweet Lord. In fact, I had one.
All right, so Ben, I know you're going to get question number 5, and that will help you pull out the win, but you need question 4 first. Which was the biggest hit, the longest number one hit at number one by an ex-Beatle? Do you know it, Jeff?
You do it, Jeff. Go ahead.
No, I don't know. I'd take a first crack at it.
Read it.
Yeah, so it's the
Ebony and Ivory.
Ebony and Ivory is not correct, but boy,
I'm gonna guess it's Just Like Starting Over. No, it's not. It's the other awful one. It's Say Say Say.
Oh, so Ben was right there in the neighborhood.
What did Ben say earlier about people being stupid? That sounds awful.
I just re-listened to it today. All I remember is how happy the video made me, how much I loved that song. I apparently haven't heard it in 30 years. I just heard it. I was like, oh my God, this is
it's really bad.
a really bad song. But
I like,
you know,
the Spies Like Us theme song better than
it's a gem too. I think Spies Like Us is when people woke up like, wait, is Paul McCartney trying? Like, wait a minute. He's just throwing this at us. Which brings us to the last question. What is the worst song ever recorded by an ex-Beatle? We could probably come up
with it. Oh, it's something by McCartney because he's such a schlocky, stoppy boob. I might go, it has to be a really good one, though. It has to be one that was a hit that will bother you for years and years. I might go with a Little Luck. You remember that one? With a little luck.
That is the incorrect answer. I love that song. How dare you?
Oh, God.
There's a correct answer. Do you want me to tell it to you, Ben?
That was, yeah.
It is Pipes of Peace by Paul.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah, you're right.
That was so jaw-droppingly awful.
So bad.
You're right. Home run. Checkmate.
All right. Well, let's get to our three songs. Now, you just called Paul McCartney schlocky. Ben, you've indicated earlier that you're a little, how can I say this? Not obsessed with the Beatles, but this is for the kids, people. This podcast is for those coming after us. So we are going to concentrate on why they're important and why they're loved and why our children and the next generation should love the Beatles. Let's do it.
Wait, are we going to do that as part of our three songs, or that's a separate topic?
Just kind of infuse that spirit into our selections.
All right. You want to go first, Jeff? You want me to go?
Well, I should do a different song then. I could pick a song that like emblematically does all the things Tim wants us to do. So you go first and let me think about it.
All right. So I have a freestanding chat about the first two questions, why they're great and why people love them so much. And I'm sad to report we have to start with me being a contrarian and not liking them that much. And basically, I went to Spotify, and you know where it should be like Spotify, where it would be like, this is the Beatles. Instead of that, they just have the two Beatles greatest hits, 62 to 67 and then 67 to 70, just back to back, 75 songs, 3.5 hours. And I mean, just
75 songs. Oh my God.
Just, yeah, I mean, they're literally like two songs were like, I haven't heard that in a minute, but everything else, it was just like, whoa, boom, boom. There's a certain like wallpapery background, like they actually are music in a way.
Yeah.
And so that didn't thrill me in high school. And then the later stuff is so much better in terms of the musicianship, but the early musicianship is just a little bit rough for me. Like they're just not, like even in comparison to the early Stones or the early Who, they're just not great at playing their instruments. And I like, let me just be clear, like they're unbelievably great at translating songs or writing songs. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like the musicianship part of it really bugged me. And an example of that is like Day Tripper is an unbelievably fantastic song. Both the Hendrix version and the Otis Redding version are massively superior to the Beatles version. And that's just an example of like where the writing is great, but the performance is a little bit rougher. All of that being said, I have since come around on it. I've really, really
let's
come
go.
And in particular,
you really have.
At post college, I did all these dumb reading projects. Like I read Ulysses, I read War and Peace. I also got the Arden Complete Shakespeare, and I read it from the beginning to the end. As part of that, in order to understand what the hell I was reading, I got Harold Bloom's Shakespeare Invention of the Human, I think that's what it's called.
Yep.
And so it's like a 500-page work of criticism going through everything Shakespeare ever wrote and making this big argument, which is that it's not only that Shakespeare created literature, it's not only that Shakespeare created what would eventually become the novel, it's that like in Hamlet and in Richard III and these other plays, he actually created the internal dialogue, like the actual life of a human. Our entire
yes.
concept of what a human being is was created by this art.
Awesome.
And the Beatles are kind of sort of like that. Like they created popular music as an art form. I mean, it's a little strong to say that when jazz existed and when classical music existed, but it's kind of true. It's really kind of true. Like, you lay them against, bless their hearts, Chuck Berry or Elvis. It's just a completely 100% different thing. They also, like, just expanded the sonic palette to it, expanded what you could do with the writing of these songs, and then the expanded the ambit and, like, the sheer, like, the arrogance to put out these, like, a record like Sgt. Pepper's and then back it up, like, have it be fantastic. They, like, it's not just that they created rock music. It's not just that they created pop music. It's like they are the thing itself, like that. And their journey through and all of those amazing songs are unbelievable, totally worth studying and celebrating, even if some of them are really annoying. Some of the stuff that they created is really not okay. Like, when I listen through it, just this combination of songs on the 75 songs, Penny Lane, Yellow Submarine, Michelle. And then my favorite example is the harpsichord solo in My Life. Like, In My Life is a great song, and they've got to fuck it up with that stupid harpsichord in the middle. It's just Too Clever by Half drives me completely insane. What song am I going to choose? I'm a much bigger late Beatles than early Beatles fan. I am going to choose Don't Let Me Down. It's a really fun one for me. First, famously, Lennon and McCartney have this argument where Lennon calls McCartney's songs silly little love songs.
Oh, wow.
And McCartney writes a song called Silly Little Love Songs as an answer to his erstwhile former best friend. But if you go back and read the biographies or even think about it for 5 seconds, it really cut McCartney. Like, that really hurt his feelings to have his former bandmate and a person who he respected deeply, deeply. There's these hilarious, like, they did a Mick Jagger bio, and the cuts of it where he's talking to McCartney are hilarious. Like, McCartney just didn't respect Mick Jagger. He was just like, these guys are like our baby brothers. Like, I just have no use for them whatsoever. They seem cool. Like, I'm happy to hang out with them. But in terms of whether Mick Jagger artists, likes one of my songs, it's like, who would care? That's not how he felt about Lennon. Like, he knew that Lennon knew it was up. And so for Lennon to call his work Silly Little Love Songs was just a cut straight to the bone. People misread that and think that what Lennon was saying is, like, all you can do is write songs like Imagine. It's only political songs. Don't Let Me Down is actual proof that that's not the case. This is the best Beatles love song. It's a crazy thing to say, but it's true. Like, the howl of this song, the description of the greatest love that's ever existed, he's in love for the first time ever, in combination with the recognition of the risk of that, like, putting yourself out there to where you're just begging the person not to let you down. You're like, I love you so much, I could never handle it if you let me down. And then, of course, it's the late version with the organ. The organ work on this is so unbelievably fantastic. The composition is so great. The singing just cuts me to the bone every single time I hear it. I kind of wanted to start at minute 20 where we do that, but I'm not going to just start at the beginning. I was going to start at minute 20 where he goes through this A Love That Lasts Forever thing. But actually, it's best to hear just the first minute of the song. You get the chorus first, then the verse. You get everything you need to know about the Beatles and about Lennon.
Do your thing, man.
I'm doing it all the time. I can't keep off it. Okay, what is it? 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh no,
what are we doing?
Sorry,
don't let me down.
Yeah, is that what we did?
I was just into
it. Do a nice big for me, you know, to give me the courage to come screaming in. 1, 2, 3, 4. Don't let me down. Don't let me down. Don't let me down. Don't let me down. Nobody ever loved me like she do me. She do me, yes, yeah, she does.
does.
Don't let me down.
Is that Billy Preston?
It is indeed.
Oh man. Little charming little licks he provides. That's good stuff.
That's live. That's 100% live too. I mean, that it's funny. I could, first of all, great start to the conversation. And you really hit the nail on the head about the importance of the Beatles. It's the word interiority that I really was struck with that you were talking about. Like, Shakespeare invents interiority for human beings in his plays. The Beatles invent interiority in popular music, because there is folk music before there are the Beatles, right? Like, there is popular music, and then there is this new R&B rock and roll. And in 1963, college kids who were reading the complete Shakespeare and Ulysses as private reading projects were not listening to Chuck Berry. They were listening to Simon and Garfunkel and Peter, Paul, and Mary, and what they were looking for the serious music that they can gravitate to, and the other stuff was kids' stuff. And the Beatles invent youth culture, and then youth culture takes over planet Earth, right? Without the Beatles, there is no unifying instrument of human connection that allows young people to survive the desire to make them shut up that defines the 1960s. Like, you know, the Western world is at war with itself. Like, you will continue to think the way we think, act the way we act, dress the way we dress, expect the gender roles or whatever, you know, like have the politics. And this emerging group of people said, I don't think we want to do that. And they fought back in all these different ways. But, you know, the wallpaper quality of the soundtrack of the Beatles behind them gave them the permission and the passion and the courage to do it. And the Beatles are both the artists creating the sonic template for that and the kids going through those changes themselves. Like,
yep.
You're talking about, like Ben talks about those great collections, 62 to 66 and 67 to 70. There's a picture of the Beatles leaning out over the EMI office windows in 62. And they're just fresh-faced.
They're grinning. And, yeah, yeah.
And then 1969, they take the same photo and they're totally different. They're all like hairy. And they're wearing different stuff. They don't match. They've grown up. They've gone from age 21 to age 28. And they've changed, and the world has changed. And they are both the change and the changed. And that, for me, is the magic of the whole thing. There will never be a band this big again. Even if Taylor Swift is drawing the numbers that she's drawing, even if Spotify numbers suggest there are other popular things, like... Yes, Bad Bunny is enormous right now, but I always go back when people are like, when I try to explain to my rock students like how big the Beatles were, I remember this moment from high school where I was having an argument with two friends that the Beatles were the biggest band of all time. And one of my friends was like, no, it's totally Led Zeppelin. And I said, okay, let's try something. And we went out to my living room and my grandmother was staying with us. My little Greek 106-year-old, 3-foot-tall grandmother. And I said, hey, yeah, do you know who the Beatles are? And she's like, oh, John, Paul, George, and Ringo. And my friend's like, yeah, what about Led Zeppelin? And she looks at him and goes, Led who? I was like, checkmate. So,
well, dude, yeah, it's also like the Taylor Swift thing and the Michael Jackson thing. Like, those are fantastic artists, or Madonna. I'm not trying to ding those artists.
Right, right.
It's not record sales, it's literally changing the world. Like, the Beatles were one of the reasons I chose Revolution is they were revolutionary in a huge way. I mean, right. All You Need Is Love, like, actually became like a life statement, a mission statement for humans all across the globe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the magic of the Beatles is not just that, it's the individual four personalities that become the group. Watching that Get Back documentary, all, you know, 12, 13 hours of it. First of all, speaking of musicianship, how sneaky good John is as a guitar player in that movie is really startling. Like, he's a kick-ass guitar player. Like, I did not realize how good he was. But Paul McCartney is the 20th century Mozart. You could put an instrument in front of Paul McCartney, and in 10 minutes, he's getting sounds out of it. Like, the sonic experimentation of the Beatles is unthinkable without Paul McCartney. But he is the melody guy. Like, I just called him schlocky because he is. Like, the reason that line is, you write silly love songs, cut Paul McCartney so deep is how accurate he was. This guy can't even read music, and he's just composing symphonies in his head while he's out walking the dog. Like, melodies fall out of that guy like air. And right. I don't mean that Mozart thing as a joke. Like, he is the 20th century Mozart. But he gets paired with the 20th century Oscar Wilde. And they decide to become best friends and collaborate. And all of Lennon's salt and all of McCartney's sugar is the magic of the Beatles. It's why they don't work as solo artists. Like, Paul McCartney needs to bring songs to John and have him be like, that's what you're going to write about? That's it? And John needs to bring his unlistenably angry screeds to Paul and say, well, what are people supposed to sing along to here too, man? I thought we were writing music. And it was when they did those things together that they were a perfect partnership. Even though the songs weren't written 50-50, they were written 90-10. But the influence of that 10
is huge.
Is everything. And I think the signature song that
Before you play it,
yeah,
can we just pick up, Ben, what did India say when you guys were watching the documentary? Because there was a song that John Lennon started making fun of.
Oh, Let It Be. Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
She comes walking in and Paul McCartney's trying to Let It Be, and Lennon's like, this again?
Yeah.
This schlocky piece.
And he starts mocking. Oh.
And India's like, wait, he's making fun of one of the 20 greatest songs written in the English language? Like, that's what's going on here?
So you
can,
great.
You can only get that good if you have somebody who will tell you when it's not perfect, right? And those two guys, because they grew up together. They started telling each other when they were full of shit at 14. They could still do it at 28.
Yeah.
When everybody in the world thinks that everything they do is perfect.
Like, all right, go ahead. Sorry. Yeah. What do you
got? No. But like, I think that's what's, if I'm 15 years old, that's what I don't understand about the Beatles is like, they're not just songs. And it's hard to listen to music outside of its cultural context, but they are also fantastic songs. They are, and it's because the Beatles wanted to take the energy of rock and roll and R&B and marry it with the old song craft of British vaudeville, and it's a magic combination. And I think, with the exception of Bob Marley, there is no more universal sound than the first 5 seconds of a Beatles song.
Along with your grandmother, like, my daughters can definitely hum 15 Beatles songs. And that's the only band from before they were born that's true for. It's just a thing. And I don't even like the Beatles. I didn't play them for them. So just like, you just can't help but pick it up. It's like a huge, massive part of the canon. And they like them. Like, those songs are good. Like, that. The reason they know these songs is because they're fucking great. And they're like, oh, yeah.
There are rare moments when the most popular thing in the world is also the best thing in the world. And they do not happen very often. And the Beatles is an example of that. And that's why it's to be treasured. But I guess the song I'll talk about, which is the perfect marriage of the Lennon and McCartney thing, because I actually prefer, if you ask me, like, my five favorite Beatles songs, they're mostly Lennon songs. Like, I think Strawberry Fields Forever is phenomenal. I think Car Never Knows is phenomenal. But Ben's first choice for Rushmore, A Day in the Life, is the perfect Lennon and McCartney, like, when they each had half a song. And then they realized they were writing a song together. And it sums up Sgt. Pepper, and it sums up their relationship. A Day in the Life is the closing song on Sgt. Pepper, which was the most popular album in the world for a really, really long time. In the summer of 1967, there were radio stations in every major city in America just playing Sgt. Pepper in a loop. KSAN in San Francisco, the day Sgt. Pepper came out, they played it cover to cover 15 times in a row. That was the only thing on the radio that
awesome.
Day.
Awesome. That is so great.
And they did, and it just was, that was everywhere all the time. It was just like, this is it. And half the song is Lennon. It's this, like, creepy little classic English folk song, G walked down to E minor. I saw a film today, oh boy. I said, right. And it's this languid days of remembrance past vibe. And it goes into this kind of weird dreamscape. And then McCartney had this happy little up and down like banker going thing. And they put it together, and they put it together with crazy sonic experimentation.
Right.
Of the studio that they're learning how to do. So Lennon's thing was only 90 seconds long. McCartney's thing is only 2 minutes long. When they add them together with this crazy swirling back in time, like with their roadie Mal Evans screaming the numbers in the background so they know when to come in. And the magic of it all together is the magic of the Beatles, because it really is transporting. Like, A Day in the Life scared me a little bit the first time I heard it, because it was like getting sucked into another space. Like, you know, in the Harry Potter movies,
yeah, right.
The Pensieve.
Yep.
A Day in the Life is like a Pensieve experiment for me, I just, I'm just in this song. So I don't have this queued up because I didn't know I was going to talk about it, but let me see if I can find the moment in A Day in the Life where we get the end of Lennon's section.
Right.
And the beginning, and the swirl and the beginning of McCartney's. So
okay.
We might have to do some editing here.
Yeah, no problem.
But I just have to look, having read the
so great. And it's four track recording. So the technology is so limited when they make that. Like, they literally are like putting magnetic tape together.
Reels, yeah.
It's going across the room onto four different machines. Like, the invention and the, like, the other thing that's amazing about the Beatles is, like, when they do their first recording session, like, everyone's in white lab coats and it's an engineering project. By the time they make this recording as an artistic project, and they did that, they turned recording from an engineering technical thing to an artistic experimentation thing. And
that's
they did it by
cool.
just being 24-year-olds who were like, well, why can't we do that? We can't put the tape in backwards. Why not? Well, I don't know.
Well, I don't know what'll happen.
You know, and George Martin, the producer, deserves a ton of credit, as does his engineer, Jeff Emmerich. And the Beatles were also really smart to stay together. That's the other thing, that there's such a fantastic lesson about letting yourself be part of something bigger than you yourself are. Like, they could have broken up,
yeah, earlier,
in 65 or 66. Like 66, they hate being on the road and they're exhausted. They go back to England. They could break up right then, and instead they're like, "Why don't we make the greatest record ever made? And then we'll make another one, and then we'll make another one."
Yeah.
And when they break up, it's breaking up into adulthood. It's not breaking up into some petulant, I need to be bigger than the Beatles. It was actually the exhaustion of being the most important people in the world to most of the world. And they just wanted to retreat into humanity. And because they had created interiority for the rest of the world, it was the least we could do to let them go have it.
Yeah.
And then sadly, they cash that up, right? Like, I mean, if the Beatles had never released another note of music after the last chord of Let It Be, it'd be fine. There are great songs. There are great moments.
There are, sure.
But it's just a wonderful historical moment of extraordinary collaboration and artistic success. And you should listen to them, boys and girls.
Yeah.
I'm I'm sad that they broke up. I guess it's weird to say I'm disappointed, but I'm just sad about that. I wish that they'd been able to keep it together.
Well, if there'd ever been a band that had done it anything like them before, they would have learned. They could have just taken 3 years off. But remember, like, the Beatles invent everything. Like, you get a hit single, you put out another one, you put out another one. I guess we should make an album. They put out an album. Oh my God, we should make another album. Maybe albums aren't collections of singles. Maybe they're art in themselves. Hey, maybe we can stop touring. I mean, everything that rock and roll is based off of, the Beatles invented. Like, nobody played a stadium until they did. If instead of saying we have to break up, if they just said, like, hey, why don't we just take 5 years off and have a couple of kids? That would have been great, but they had no, there was no model for that. There's no model for hiatus. Because there was no model for being a band for 8 years. So yeah, I'm with you. I'm sad about it. And I actually think if Lennon had not been killed, they unquestionably would have reformed in the early 80s. There's no,
I think that's true, but the music would have sucked. Like, I just wanted to see them carry through it.
Yeah.
Until they make a bad one. I mean, isn't it great that there's not a bad record?
That is great. I mean, but it's also, think of all the stuff that we lost. Think of what we lost. I know. And dude, it also, like, it just hurts my feelings that Lennon and McCartney, and dude, they weren't nice to George either, but that Lennon and McCartney couldn't keep that going. You can really, in the Let It Be documentary, you can really see it. Like, they're just such different people. They're such different places in their lives. They just aren't able to work together anymore. But that makes me sad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It makes me really happy that Pearl Jam, even though that's not like the later records are better than the first records, that just makes me super amped that those guys are like, let's just, you know, keep hauling this along. And dude, it's not just them. I mean, like, contemporaries of theirs, like the Rolling Stones, just managed to keep it together. Like, those two guys who were best friends from when they were kids managed to stay on the same page, even though, I mean, Keith and Mick were very different people, similar to
And what Pearl Jam realized very quickly, I think, was like, the fame monster will eat us alive. I mean, they just accepted a secondary layer level of fame and success, and that kept them together. And I incredibly admire them for it. But the Beatles had no control over how famous they got. I mean, they got too. And the other thing that's amazing about the Beatles is like they got bigger than anybody ever had, and they lived could tell about it. Like, I mean, the savagery of fame catches up with Lennon in 1980. But, like, the fact that nobody in the Beatles was killed in 1968 is a miracle. And the fact that none of them died from an overdose or misadventure in the middle of the whole thing is just, it's amazing. Yeah. These guys, they're admirable in that way, too. Like, they did not leave a trail of broken lives and misogynist, selfish choices behind them in the wake of that fame either, which is kind of remarkable. In fact, they were all bent towards weirdly possessive one-on-one personal relationships.
All right, Timmy, what do you got?
All right, I'm going to bring it home. You got to love the Beatles because of all the stuff you're just saying about McCartney and his melodies. I'm going out with a song that just makes me happy. It makes me joyous. Obladi, oblada. I mean, did we? Oh, that's a fun sing along. Next time the three of us get together, let's sing that song together.
Done and done. You got it, brother.
You'll be on the piano. Ben, you'll be on the guitar. I'll be tapping away like Ringo.
That's amazing. Ringo's
sneaky good on that song. That's a great choice. I mean, like, look at us all. We all instantly, like, knew every word, totally perked up. And the thing is, like, I think some people think the Beatles are children's music sometimes, And it's just because they're so embedded in the culture. I was reading an article that said that 100 years from now, everybody will know all the Beatles songs and no one will know who the Beatles are. That they'll just be campfire songs.
The songs that everybody will just sings. Exist. And, oh, yeah. Wow.
And people will be like, well, that's just like Happy Birthday, right? Or,
yeah, like She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain or something like right. that. Obladi. Well, hey, if we're singing Obladi, Oblada with our Android brains in 100 years, I'm happy. Let's go.
Hooray.
All right, gentlemen. It's been a lovely Friday.
Where are we headed next?
Well, we're going to go. We just talked about Pearl Jam. Should we go fly all the way across North America to Seattle?
Wait, hold on. I hate to throw a spanner in the works or whatever you say. Timmy, you're not going to take us to Dublin?
Oh, my God. I forgot about my people.
There's no way we're leaving these islands.
Especially after Shane McGowan passed away last night. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to Ireland, Dublin.
Fantastic.
All right, I'll see you at the Guinness Factory.
Thanks, friends.
All right,
well done.
Bye.
Bye.
Have you ever wondered what actually happens in Congress every day? Stay informed on Capitol Hill's daily happenings with a concise, factual summary of the Senate and House of Representatives' activities from the previous session, free from bias, on the Congressional Record Daily Digest podcast. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and discover the process from the heart of U.S. politics. The Congressional Record Daily Digest, an Electricast production.
Welcome to the Candle Power Hour. Come with us backstage, behind the scenes of show business spanning over four decades and bringing you the experiences that can only be told by the people who were there.
Our guests are from the A-list, the F-list, and everyone in between. Get set for some of the most insane, hilarious, and inspiring stories you will ever hear.
I'm Mercury.
And I'm Diego.
Your host for the Candle Power Hour.
Electricast.